This is KERA News. Every week, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, a conversation about universal basic income. What would happen if all Americans were guaranteed a monthly income, whether or not they were employed? Annie Lowry is a contributing editor for The Atlantic and author of the book, Give People Money. She recently spoke with KERA's Chris Boyd about how universal basic income, UBI for short, might change this country.
The idea is just basically everybody in the United States or another country would get a pension payment, kind of like a Social Security payment. But it leads you to sort of ask all sorts of questions about what we have, why we have it, and how things could be different. And there's lots of different cases for a UBI. So, for instance, there's kind of a feminist case to be made that because women do a disproportionate amount of unpaid care work, that maybe you want some kind of social payment for that work. And maybe a UBI is a way to do that. Given that that's an economic utility, it's really important to the functioning of the economy. But because it's not really a dollars and cents thing, it doesn't show up in the kind of national accounts. Similarly, there's just this idea, you know, if we're as wealthy a country as we are, do we deserve to have kind of a floor? Do we want to make sure that there's some level of poverty beneath which we're not going to let people fall? And right now, the answer is no. You know, we have a safety net with some pretty significantly large holes in it. But, you know, maybe in the future, the answer might be yes.
So for purposes of this book, we're talking about, to simplify things, a payment of about $1,000 a month per adult. Is that right?
Yeah. Usually when people talk about a UBI, they talk about, you know, something like $500 or $1,000 a month for adults. And then there's kind of a sister idea, which is called a guaranteed minimum income. And the idea there is that the government would basically boost your income up through the tax code if you ever fell below a poverty line. So maybe the standard poverty line or one a bit higher or lower.
What about the concern that recipients might waste the money they're given on things that society deems either frivolous or harmful? Could a UBI feed a drug habit or an alcohol problem?
Certainly. Yep. We have a lot of data from a lot of different sources, though, that show that when people receive this money through things like the Earned Income Tax Credit or some UBI-type pilots that were run in the United States and in Canada, what they show is when you get kind of government money, you tend to increase your consumption. But what you're consuming doesn't really change much. So, for instance, families that use SNAP benefits or food stamps, their grocery purchasing habits look identical to the higher income families that are not using those benefits, right? They eat the same stuff. Similarly, if you follow families from before they get a benefit to after they get it, they consume more. They consume more groceries. They might buy more things for their houses. They might buy things like, you know, bicycles or cars or whatever it might be. But there's no evidence that they spend more on vice goods, so like cigarettes or alcohol or gambling. And so it's hard because there's still this feeling that that money, if it's coming from the taxpayer and society at large, that it shouldn't be going to any of that. But again, we just don't really see it at an aggregate level that people, quote unquote, misuse it.
Does this just subsidize companies who aren't really paying their employees a living wage, even though their employees are doing hard work for them?
There is an argument that it would do the opposite. There's this idea that, and it makes sense, right? Because you imagine sort of, okay, if I gave you $1,000 a month, then your employer could say, hey, you have that $1,000, so I'm going to cut your wages by $750 and I'm going to pocket that, and you're going to still be better off. What does it matter, right?
Right.
But there's also this idea that if you had $1,000 a month and somebody said, hey, I'd love for you to do this job and it's dangerous, you're going to be handling toxic materials and I want to pay you $8 an hour, you would say, hey, I have $1,000 a month. Absolutely not. I'm going to go find a better job. And so it would create kind of that sort of worker-centered power. And so economists argue that the latter is the case, not the former, that this would not be a kind of form of sort of backdoor corporate subsidy, but instead would really recenter the worker and give workers much more power across the board.